All right, I'd like to call the Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees regular meeting to order. Date is July 22nd, 2025 at 7 p.m. I'd like to request a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Present.
Alex Litton.
Present.
Bo Miller.
Present.
Okay. You guys have a chance to look at the meeting minutes from the June 24th regular meeting?
Yep.
Those look okay.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the June 24th regular meeting.
I can second that.
Okay. Alex Litton made the motion. Dave Bench seconded. Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
And looking for a motion to approve the special meeting minutes. Just noticed there's the wrong date on here. Yeah.
Well, that's you too. They got. I don't know how we did that, but you know your name.
Yeah. I talked to Joel about it. We just cross it out, and he knows of it, and he's going to take care of it. What was the date of that? Because he's got the wrong date on there too.
Oh boy, I can't remember.
It was Monday. The
14th.
Sounds right, but let me.
Boy, he is really bad, isn't he? At the dates.
Yeah, it was the 14th.
14th. Okay. Okay, got that fixed. Got those three changes made. Guess I'd like to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the July 14th meeting.
As amended.
As amended.
Yeah.
I can second that.
Okay. Roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Alex Litton. Yes. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Okay. On to the fiscal officer's report. These out.
I didn't get the one.
Which page are you missing? This one?
Yep.
You know, I didn't get that one either. I thought it felt light. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, we have payroll last month.
Yeah, I was going to say that with all the checks, there's got to be.
All right, let's see here. Let's start with fund status. So, fund status as of 7/24/2025. Fund number 1,000 through 2901. All funds total is $1,527,155.05. Pooled investments, $691,869.80. Secondary checking accounts, $0.00. Available primary checking balance, $835,285.25. Total other adjusting factors, $145.20. I talked to Joel about that. The adjusting factors were an issue at the bank, and they've since been fixed.
Fixed?
Yeah, I guess somebody at the bank, when they were processing a check, they entered the check number instead of the amount on the check. So that's where that issue came from. All right. Receipt listing from 6/25/2025 through 7/31/2025. Receipt numbers 160-2025 through 175-2025. Report total $40,199.10. Payment listings from 6/25/2025 through 7/31/2025. Warrant numbers 87-2025 through 89-2025 and 23778 through 23879. Total payment $79,863.13. Total conversion vouchers $0. Total less conversion vouchers $79,863.13. Looking for a motion to approve.
I can move to approve as read.
I'll second. Roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Alex Litton?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Okay. The other item I have from Joel is this letter and an email. Let's see, who exactly is this email from? I think this is from the auditor's office. Yeah, it's from the auditor's office. So this letter is in regards to 11755 Rachel Road. You guys, back in 2022, applied a special assessment to this property for demolition in the amount of $7,800. We just need to make a motion to reapprove the special assessment. We don't need a resolution or anything of that sort. So,
unless so it stays on the taxes.
Correct.
And it gets paid.
Yeah.
Why would it come off?
Not sure that answer. Joel might have that answer.
You know what I mean? You know, it's on there. It should stay on there.
Didn't make any sense to me why it would come off.
Maybe
why
something come fell off. Through the something might have fell through the cracks.
Could be.
On it.
But
when they maybe it's not on it currently. Or that guy was fighting it, the one that bought the property.
Yeah, it could be. He was looking through how to fight it.
Yeah.
But we just need to make a motion to reapprove that.
Oh, I can make a motion to reapprove the special assessment on property address 11755 Rachel. Parcel ID is 3374977 in the amount of $7,800 for the cost of demolition.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Alex Litton?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I've got from Joel for now. Zoning department. Doesn't look like Rob is here. I talked to our new zoning inspector. He is on vacation in Europe right now, so he didn't really have much input or anything going on. Just for the public's general awareness, we did hire a new zoning inspector, Jacob Barnes. His application was discussed at a previous meeting. He's an expert in zoning. I like to joke with him that he's Dr. Zoning, but hopefully he'll be at our next meeting. Do you guys have anything else from him?
Nope.
Jim, do you have anything zoning related?
Nothing new
that we know. Okay. All right. Moving on to rec department.
So, I've had a lot of conversations with Gary.
Can I speak back to the zoning? I don't want to be out of time, but the zoning is kind of coming down on me hard. And am I going to be like in the 30-day minute where I'm going to get back in the city of Oregon in front of the judge paying a fine because my neighbor thinks my house is blightful?
We have a public participation section at the end. We can talk about it then. Or everybody, we get to go around the room and everybody gets a chance to discuss it.
Okay, but you don't know about his details of what his agenda is. He's in Europe right now.
Yeah, nothing. Okay. Nothing at the moment. There's no report submitted to us. Yeah, no report.
My neighbor and whoever wants to drill me in.
Yep. There's a public participation section at the end.
So had a lot of conversation with Gary. Regarding the position, how we could try and what we could do to keep the rec going. Gary feels, I thought I had him to stay on for another year. And after much thought and discussion, he doesn't have it in him, the time to possibly pull a levy, you know, get it through the next step, because it's going to take a lot of work to get that,
sure,
you know, yeah, to get it passed. So Gary felt that he would best be served as if he resigned effective the end of July. And he unfortunately couldn't be here tonight because he was out of town. That way it saved his salary in there. We did talk a little bit on how we could possibly string the rec department along for at least a year, to maybe look at getting it on the ballot next November. So there were some, we had a few ideas, discussions. He was going to be reaching out to the Oregon rec. And one of those ideas was possibly just, instead of paying for every sport that these kids sign up for, we pay for one sport. Instead, some of these kids might play 3 or 4 sports a year, and the fees are, some of them are $50, some of them are a couple hundred dollars. So, maybe for a year we cut it back to pay for one sport, and try and string it along and try and get it over the finish line again in about a year, to keep it going, and possibly have the zoning or the rec board do some fundraising, to try and raise some funds to help with it. But he just didn't have he couldn't dedicate the time it was going to take to put into getting a levy across the,
I never saw the flyers last time. He had the flyer here, but I never saw the flyer, distributed to the public.
Yeah. So that's where we're at with it. He is going to stay. He did say that he would, continue doing the hall rental the rest of the year, and he was for free. He said, I will continue booking the hall, and then that way it would give us time, because he changed everything the way he does everything. It's online, and I don't have a clue on how he's doing it, but it looks like it's working pretty good for him. So he said that he would continue to do the hall throughout the rest of the year through the end of December, and then turn that over. But he said, I'm going to do that for free. So that's cool. I'm like, okay, nice, I appreciate that. And, he's willing to do that. So, that's where we're at.
Okay. Dave, you have anything else on rec?
No, I was with Bo when we talked to Gary. So I know about everything that was going on. So.
Cool. Okay. Well, that's a bummer he's leaving us, but what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fire department.
Well, good evening, everyone. Things are going very well at the fire department. We're a little over 220 calls right now for the year, which is right on target for us. Question for the trustees on the fire levy that'll be posted this year is, do I need to do anything, or do we don't get information until August? Is that what I recall? What happens? I don't know what.
Where are you at in the state? Do you guys have it?
Joel had read it to the trustees meeting, mm-hmm, for the levy.
Okay.
So, but I trying to recall is not. We don't do anything until we don't get the version back from Board of Elections till August or something?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, probably now. It's where it's end, correct, of July already, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so at this point, there's nothing for us to do.
Yep.
Create signage or anything like that.
Yeah, we don't know what the issues are, what numbers are going to be, or anything like at that point.
I want to be clear about that information. This is Joel needs to do this. This particular card is probably a vendor that's trying to do it, but it's our SAM expiration alert. We're coming to, he should be aware of it. I have also placed a card in his, but I wanted you to know this is what, anything for the township, if any grants or anything that we're doing, regardless if it's fire department or the trustees or any other departments of the township, this SAM expiration has to be updated. And he's aware of it, and he's done it before. But I just want to make sure that you guys are aware of it. You can have a little card. Sometimes these cards are vendors trying to do the work for you, but it's what Joel can do. But he's got to enter it with the federal government. Okay, next item is, I presented it in the last meeting, but Joel corrected us evidently. I had provided the invoice to Joel for the tires, but you guys have to vote on it tonight.
But we didn't have a price.
Yeah.
At the last meeting.
$3,466.
$3,466?
Yeah, this is the statement. He's got the invoice.
Okay. I can, since I was the one that was okay with, you know, we talked about this and the chief had called me on this.
I thought we approved it, but we didn't.
We didn't have a dollar amount.
We did, but Joel says you can't do it unless you're at an active meeting.
Yeah, we had approved it, because it was, the tires were out of date. He had called me and I said, go ahead and get it done.
Was that the emergency repair on the side of the road?
Yeah, but we didn't have the actual dollar. So, I moved to approve the, Tri-County Tire bill, of $3,466. And this was for replacement of tires on the engine.
I'll second. Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Alex Litton. Yes. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Gentlemen, did he give you... There, thank you. That's what I was looking for. I need you guys to approve this.
The excursion.
Yeah, so there's the actual two invoices, so we need to do that. And you had me sweating. I was looking over the kind of thing.
So this is the one we just did, Tri-County
Tire. You did the Tri-County.
Yeah,
Tri-County.
So that was that one.
That is okay. American Enterprise. That was all the repairs that were necessary for utility 31. So
okay.
That's you can read
the Ford excursion.
All the repairs are.
Yeah,
the Ford excursion.
All right, so I move to approve the invoice for American Enterprise for Utility 31, which is the Ford Excursion. Total price was $4,732.35. There's a whole list of things that they did to it.
A whole list.
A whole list. Which, what is it, a 2000? 2001?
2004.
2004, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Still a real good, reliable vehicle, of course.
I'll second that. Okay, roll call, Dave Finch.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Okay, the next thing that I have on behalf of the township, because this is combined for both the fire department and the township, is the Perry Protec lease is available to be updated, which is a savings of initially $20. I know that doesn't sound like anything, but there is also a savings in the black and white and in the color. Mr. Bench did hear the presentation. I have, so what they are offering is a revised new lease that will carry us for the next 5 years at the pricing that they're locking in. And so the fire department and the trustees will both get new updated. And it also supplies the maintenance, any repairs, and the ink cartridges for the machine. It's very similar to the contract that we had before. It's just that this is a newer machine that's updated, and it'll do everything. They will come in and program it, reprogram this one to do everything what yours is. Mine's set up with a lot of emails and everything. But I have the actual contract here, and maybe Mr. Bench ought to speak beyond that. But you guys need the signatures required to do this if we're going to move forward with this.
There is the
paperwork on the
action. And it doesn't cost us anymore. That's what's fantastic.
No, it doesn't. It's costing us a little less. I'll take $20 if I can save it and get a brand new machine.
Brand new machine.
It's $20 a month or $20? What is it?
You were going to save $20 a month on a rental.
Yeah.
Plus, you were going to save on the black and white copies so much.
Yeah.
And color copies were going to cost less, and there was one of the totals that went a little higher, but the way he had it averaged out was right now we were going over our amount every month a little bit on color, a little bit on black and white. And the way that with this machine, we won't be going over like we were.
Yeah, it's giving you 1,000 black and whites and 750 colors per month, and then there's a cost.
And
overage.
The lease we have on the machines now, they're gonna eat up the rest of the lease on it. That's a wash on the new machines.
Rob was also in this meeting for this.
It was a good deal.
I'm good with that.
I'm fine with that.
So if you
would
approve that as the contract information. So everything that's highlighted in yellow, I think, are information areas that you guys need to either sign or acknowledge.
Yeah, I can approve to enter the contract. It's a 63-month agreement with Perry Protect. That's our current copier people, and that's $232.28 a month.
I'll second. Roll call, Dave Bench?
Yes.
Alex Linton? Yes. Bo Miller?
Yes.
I'm extremely happy with that machine. We use it every day on calls, and whether we're scanning or very little faxing now, but that concludes what I have, other than it's going to get warm again. Be careful, hydrate.
Do you have anything on this or?
I was just sharing that, and I have some other copies that if you wanted to just hold it up for the public and just.
I would like to put one up there, hang one up there, but.
That'd be great.
It's, the chief brought this in just first, it's kind of hard to see, and he can pass them around, but basically this little section here is what Oregon is responsible for, Washington Township, Jerusalem Township, when it comes to the lake. So
should say our jurisdiction.
Our jurisdiction. We cover. Yeah, we cover. So it's a lot of real estate there.
I'm fascinated that how Jerusalem Township ever got all of that water jurisdiction.
Let's just be grateful we don't pay tax on that. Yes, okay.
Can we think the state should pay us.
Yeah. So maybe we can post one up there. And
yes, sir.
So but thank you, Chief. That was.
Yeah, you'd have thought Oregon would have went out just like everybody else did.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
don't know how that happened. Thank you, Chief.
Sure.
Where are these? I didn't get
them. Tony, here you can have mine.
Oh.
He's got some extras. But.
Right, Washington's almost got more than Oregon.
Wow. So Washington Township just received their new vote, and Oregon has received their new vote. So.
Did they get, Washington's, is it the same?
They got an airboat.
Oh, they got an airboat?
Yep. So that's going to be extremely helpful for the wintertime. Just some real 2-second general information. Because the Toledo Station Coast Guard is diminished on staffing, they're basically a 40-hour station house now. Mm-hmm. The four jurisdictions, Washington Township, Toledo, Oregon, and Jerusalem, are covering this whole western basin for any emergency response. We don't do law enforcement.
And you guys have beat the Coast Guard and other entities to rescues, right?
Yeah. If Coast Guard will respond, they'll either come from Marblehead or they will come from Belle Isle. And then, of course, the Hilo will come out of Selfridge.
It's a long ride. No wonder you beat them.
It's a long ride on a good day.
Yeah, on a good day.
But our best partners is U.S. Towboat. Those guys are the best.
Cool.
They're out there with us, helping us on everything.
Alrighty. Well, thank you, Chief. Anything else for him?
Nope.
Okay, maintenance department.
We're certainly pecking away at the mowing. The A-boom mowing on several roads that we got from the county, we're gonna expend some little bit of excessive time to save us money in the long run, because we got a lot of brush and trees that are growing from the other side of the bank across the ditch, which will eventually take over the ditch. So that will most probably be, I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I'm gonna say most probably one guy for 2 weeks cutting on that, pushing that stuff back. they've just let it overgrow for so many years that now it's an issue that's really going to start slowing down water. So we'll put probably 2 weeks into that, just pushing all that back on. I think there's like four roads that we got to get, but they're over a mile apiece. So other than that, we did send 550 out up to American Enterprises for a maintenance issue. Ended up being some wires under the dash. You'd be driving along, everything'd be working perfectly fine, and all of a sudden the whole dash would die, all the lights would go out. So it was sort of an important thing we needed to get fixed. Luckily, it was as little as it was. If you haven't noticed, at the cemetery, we've sold some lots in there, and we've had three burials as of so far. Got a fourth one coming up. They haven't called. It's another person that actually lived in the community, and they're out of state. I think it was out of Texas now, so that'll be sometime in the next month, I'm figuring. And we've had several more inquiries about buying more graves. Some of them want to try to buy eight graves, so we're moving along with that. I did finally get in contact with Phillips, the pond group. They are supposed to go over there this week. They were gonna call me, I haven't heard from them yet, and look at where the pond's at and see if there's anything they can do about that or what we should do. And me and Bo's talked about it, so I will suggest that to them too if they show up and see what they think about it.
How's the weeds? Did it?
I haven't done a look at it, to be honest.
You get a chance, look at it, and if I gotta go over and hit it again, I will.
I just about got all my stuff together. If everything works right, we should be okay to hit it second round.
Okay.
But I'll let you know for sure. Thanks.
Yeah.
Bo went over and sprayed the pond banks for us because it just got out of hand. So, and other than that, we're back to issues with the Wallace and Howard Root pump. About a week and a half ago, noticed water was building up in the metro parks on both sides. Well, there's catch basins there. Howard Road was backing up and it was going on to the metro parks. Well, went to the pump pit and the water was within like 3 inches of the top before it started filling the pump pit full of debris. Went and looked at it. It was in the auto position, but nothing would work, manual or auto. I cycled it off and went into the trouble code into the actual control box. Wasn't even any faults in it. But when I kicked it back on, mysteriously it worked. I notified the county, told them they needed to get an electrician out to test everything, make sure nothing got knocked out, because we had those couple really good storms that went through with the lightning. And they were unable to find anything other than the float sensors are no longer at the end of the wires anymore, so they've ordered new float sensors. And while we were there today, me and Chief had stopped. There's a wire down at the bottom of the control box that's got a wire nut on it. Only one wire was in it, the other was hanging out. So I think that was might be part of the problem also. Mm-hmm. But we've got the okay to run them in manual right now, or run that one in manual. They are now still looking at September 1st for the little pump.
The little pump.
Which is ridiculous, and the guy from GM said the same thing, because he says, I look back, and we started this project in February, and this is the third time they postponed that little pump. So, you know, you do what you can get. But so, he's still working towards that, but he's got a guy that's going to be back out the next couple days to go through the complete panel again and make sure that it stays up. So we still got that, and the county is up to date on it also. So that's where we're at, unless you guys got some questions.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. All right. On the old business, first item, OLEC grant project. So still chugging along on that. Been working with CEC and the Conservancy, just moving forward with the grant project.
Right now they're in the stage of taking core samples. They came out a couple weeks ago and started the core sample process of some of the dikes around the Reno Beach Powered Farms area down along Route 2 as well. They initially brought out the wrong coring machine, so they got a couple samples and they had to take the machine back. They were originally supposed to bring a much smaller machine, and the subcontractor did not bring a small machine. They brought a large machine, so they had to rectify that issue, and they'll be moving forward with core samples over the next couple weeks. So if you see equipment around the area, that's what they're out doing, core samples. Pretty much the only update I have on that project, so unless you guys have questions.
You must have got a hold of Wolf.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, by the way, for talking to him. We got that all worked out.
All worked out.
Yep, he talked to me. I connected him with CEC so they could just skip the middlemen and get the problem solved.
That's what I told him. He might have skipped me, and I just give him your number.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks for that. Forgot about that. Okay, number two, raw water main meeting.
Oh. Get my notes here. It was a really good meeting. There wasn't too many of us there, but it was good. The first 30% is of the design is done. The 60% of it will be done in December. It starts at the east end. They're going to bid it in fall of 26, and it'll start in the spring of 27. And let's see, they're going to tunnel under Kuznel Road, ditch and road, so that we won't have to worry about that. And they're going to tunnel under North Curtis. So Decant Road and that'd be Yondota. They will cut, and that'll be a 16-inch wide cut. So it's going to be a pretty good cut when they do that.
Foot, not inch, right?
What?
You said 16-inch, 16-foot.
Oh, 16-foot, yeah. Yeah. I got it there in foot, but I guess that inches, huh? Okay. It's the new one's a 70-inch. It's going to come on the semis, 50-foot long, just one pipe per truck. Crossing the ditches, we talked about that. I told them they're going to have to size them, and Jacob was there too, and he also agreed, and there's a lot going on there. It's going to be closer to the old 78-inch. It's not going to be dead center. They're going to bid the second segment and 6 months later after the other bid. And all routes will be videotaped. And Jason has a lot of, he worked with us a lot down in Wood County when all those pipelines went in. So he has all the verbiage to put in there in the contract. So we don't have to come back and later say, hey, wait, that this wasn't in the contract. The contractor will say, oh, we're not going to do it, So the verbiage is all supposed to be in there. But it's he has it all. Let's see, and it started out $150 million. I think it's up to $175 million, and I bet by the time they get by EnviroSafe, it'll be $200 million. I don't know which one they took it off of, $150, $175, or $200, but they figure it's going to be $1,500 a foot. Anybody got any questions?
Do you have a specific question about the water main?
Yeah, I own property at 8410 Cedar Point Road. And when they came through with the drilling, right, they ran over my fence post, and then I straightened it up again, and they came back and they ran it over the second time. But, I don't know the meaning of, the assistance. It's my property. They have a right-of-way, but they knocked over the property line post, and they did it twice.
Catch me at the end of the meeting, because we have a contact at the city of Toledo that's dealing with whatever
damages.
We have a contact with the city of Toledo. They're kind of the person handling the damages and things like that. So, yep.
It's just a heads up. It's the same outfit that's drilling out of Reno. They'll run over every person that, they want to run somebody over, they'll run them over with the bridge.
Nope, different outfit, luckily. They're using a lot smaller equipment over there. Thank you.
So that's all I got on that. Oh, and Kevin, who's Josh in the engineering department?
Valerio.
That could have been it, yeah. He's been there a little while.
Yeah.
He's the one that, he's the head of it for Lucas County.
The whole property, the whole thing, that's why they the way it was. I wanted to weed whack it and I put weed killer down where it was at.
So we could reach out to the city of Toledo and let them know. We can connect you with them.
Yeah, because that's usually him and...
He's the one running the show, the way it sounds.
Yeah, and there's another Josh that is his right-hand man, and they do, they're in charge of all the inspections and construction and everything. So.
Yeah, he's and there was a, there's a younger guy there. He was kind of the Jerusalem Township guy, his young skinny kid.
Yeah, he's the new project manager.
The new project manager? That's all I got on the. It was pretty interesting meeting. We're gonna have another meeting, probably in October, about it all.
They'll destroy all the roads with the heavy trucks. Guaranteed.
Oh, that's all you got on that. We can move on to new business.
Yeah, we know there's gonna be a lot of trucks because there's gonna be a lot of dirt moving and stone hauling. So yeah, there is gonna be a lot of, a lot of trucks. That's why we're getting the roads camered, videoed.
Okay. Any other old business? Okay, new business, levy committee.
All right, so at the one of the last meetings, not the last meeting, but we talked, it was
June meeting,
we had a little discussion at the end there about the need for the levies to get passed this fall.
Yep.
And some residents had spoke up in the meeting and said, hey, have you ever thought about a levy committee? You know, you got a lot of talent, we would love to help. And I'm like, great, we'll take all the help we can get for it. So
yeah.
I believe Mark, Carol, you guys are in on that. There's a group of people that are working on it and have been collecting some information. And you want to kind of get us through the process of where you guys are at with where you're at with it?
So we have organized the Jerusalem Township Levy Committee to the current the emphasis is to help pass the road and bridge levy in November. The treasurer of that levy committee is currently accepting contributions. Checks should be made out to Jerusalem Township Levy Committee, and those funds will be used for promotion, signage, communications. We're working currently on messages and mediums for promoting that levy. We've been collecting a lot of information about that levy. Just as an FYI, that levy, the cost to a taxpayer is $90 per year for each $100,000 of tax valuation. Now, your tax valuation is a lot less than your market value. It's about half of your market value generally. That works out to about $1.73 a week per $100,000 of tax valuation. Roads are important to Jerusalem Township for access, for transportation, for safety, and to help maintain our property values. So any questions?
So your points tore up right now again where the white lines are already getting chunked out where they come and fill it, they cold patched it again.
Well, that would be a county road.
Right? No, it's our road.
That's ours now.
It's our road.
It's now, okay. So it's it attaches
there. So I had a few conversations with Mark, and we had talked about doing this levy going forward, that we need to be out in front of it. We got to be a little bit more aggressive with it, and I'm very big on the public meetings. So I think it's very important that we have the public meetings to hopefully get the residents involved here. Even if they're not maybe attending here, they can still watch it on Facebook, and we can take questions, we can take comments regarding the roads and bridge levy. And I do know that the chief wants to piggyback the fire department levy when we do that, some informational dates. I would like to see a date in like September and then one in October. I'd like to see two meetings at least, public.
Then we should have our levy number by then.
Right. Yeah. And basically, just these are informational meetings is all they are. You know, we sit up there, you know, if we're all three there, we gotta call the meeting, you know, as an open meeting. You know, the levy committee can put their spin on it, we can put our, you know, the information we have. The chief will also be able to promote the fire department levy at that same meeting. I don't wanna do them, if we do one in September, like in September and one in October, I wanna be on different days, like not a Tuesday night, both times, like do a Tuesday and a Thursday. Is there any, I know it's kinda far out, I can't know what I'm doing by the end of this week, so. Would tonight be an appropriate time to maybe get a date picked out, that we, tentative dates for you guys? To have the meeting, to have the informational meetings?
That's fine, if you wanna propose a working date, a couple of working dates.
That's good with me.
Okay, so, I mean, September, obviously the first, like, we could maybe, well, we'd have a meeting the ninth. We don't wanna do it on meeting night, and we don't wanna do it on a night that there's the food pantry. So like, maybe that one, do that one like the 16th?
Sure, yeah.
We don't wanna do it later.
Yeah, so 16th in September, that would be a Tuesday. And then if we do one in October, we could do one October 16th, which is a Thursday. Or would that not be a good way to do it, 16th and 16th?
I mean, I don't see an issue with that, unless you want to, I know nobody wants to shoot for having a weekend meeting, but some people do work evenings. Do we want to schedule the first one and see how that goes and then schedule the second one? Would that work? Or do you just want to pick dates now?
We can use those as working dates, get the first one scheduled, and then if there's any issues, modify that.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's
good,
do that.
It's good to have a couple of working dates.
Yeah, so let's do this in September. Let's do either let's do the 16th or the 30th. Them are Tuesday nights. Okay, in September.
30th is too late. Let's do the 16th at least.
Okay, so the 16th. So let's try and make that one a hard number.
Yep.
16th at 7. And Chief, if you guys can have anything that you guys want to bring and and have information there, so we can get that one out also.
Great.
So I know the levy committee is really concentrating on the roads and bridges at this time, because that one's it's already failed once, and we're trying to get that one passed. That seems to be the one that's in the trouble, but we definitely want to be able to assist with the fire department too. So,
cool. So just to recap, September 16th, 7 p.m., October 16th, 7 p.m. is our tentative date?
The October one, I would say it would definitely be the...
October 17th.
16th.
Yep. 16th.
Yeah, because that would be a Tuesday and then a Thursday. You know, I don't know people's schedules when they work, if they work nights. You know, they might work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at night, and then have Thursday off. You know?
Seven too late, or should we do it six? Or
yeah, I think a lot of people don't get off till, you know, five.
Five.
You know, by the time you get home, get something to eat.
Yeah.
You know, seven's get a shower. Bad. I think seven's okay.
Yeah.
So.
Come on.
Is there anything else, Mark, from the levy committee that you can think of that you guys have got most of your information that you needed?
We do. Thank you very much. It was very beneficial to get a copy of that resolution. Thank you.
One of the things that was interesting, I was talking to the county, and I know people are not happy about the tar and chip, but $300,000 a mile for asphalt, $30,000 for tar and chip.
Trouble is, if they only could do the tar and chip right, even.
They're not doing a very good job down here.
Terrible.
Oh,
it's
no.
Terrible.
If you go down and look at Ottawa County, what got done there, just you can really see the difference.
Is the county doing this up here?
Yeah.
They didn't contract it out.
And they got all new guys, and I don't think anybody cares. You know, just I talked to a county guy, and he said the same thing I said. There's no consistency in it.
Yeah.
It's just a mess all the time. I mean, they're dumping stone, big piles. They actually went and brushed them off today, but
yeah, brown by the curves there. I mean, they've missed that much of it.
Well, you can see the line a lot of times down them. Yeah,
that's all hand work.
That's why I didn't get done.
Missed it.
All right. That's all I got on that.
Okay. All righty. Number two, Mike Panuski.
So, yeah, I was emailing Mike. I thought I was going to have something back today from him. You know, we had a pretty good thread going yesterday about meeting with the, getting a meeting set up with the zoning board about the flood plan regulations that we all were presented with here not that long ago. Want him to give them out and give us more information on it and kind of another informational meeting. He asked me, I said, give us a couple dates. He asked when you guys met. I said, you know, they usually meet the first Wednesday, but they're available. I think we could make it work, and it was crickets. After that, I didn't hear anything from him. And then I emailed him again today about another issue and have not heard back from him on that either. So he might have got busy today. Never answers his phone, so it's the best is to email him.
On that, so we're on the same page. Now, previously we had discussed making that an open meeting to the public so
yeah.
everybody could understand, not just the zoning.
Yep.
Just
yeah.
for the public.
Yep.
It's for the public.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be.
But really wanted the zoning board, was kind of the driving.
Right.
To have you guys there, have, and then, but it would be a
public.
Yeah, it would be a public meeting also, so.
Okay, anything else on that? Nope.
Oh, I did, the other reason I reached out to him, and I know it's not on the agenda, but you saw the email from Joel on those bills that they have not paid yet?
Yeah.
Dave, yep. Did you see that email today? Did it come across today or late last night?
I think it was today.
The ones from Rachel and East?
I just got home.
Okay. Well, remember at the, when we had the meeting with the county engineers and you guys had them invoices and you said, well, why aren't these getting paid? And they said, well, you need to reword them. Well, we reworded them, sent them back in, and they still haven't paid them.
I'll have to look at them tonight when I get home.
Yeah.
Yep. So he's got all four on there.
So. I'll take care of that.
Okay. Number three, tire purchase approval, fire department. We just took care of that.
Took care of that.
Okay. Number four, recycling center. I think everybody's had a chance to see all the stuff getting dropped off at the recycling center.
I don't really. Garbage and.
Yeah.
Put in the one? Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And it happened on multiple days, too. I was trying to brainstorm my ideas on how to solve that problem. Really, the only thing I can come up with is cameras of some sort so we can at least go back and verify who's doing it, if it's multiple people, if it's somebody. Don't really like to advertise the fact that there's no cameras there at the moment, but that's kind of the situation. So, Bo, you had mentioned you looked into getting some cameras personally. And
yeah, we've been looking at them at the shop, and the guy that does our IT here, Computer Extreme, actually does these cameras also, and he hasn't been in yet to give me an estimate at the shop there, but doing the research on the cameras they use, they're really high-end cameras, and they're not that expensive for what they are. It's all cloud-based, so it all gets recorded to the cloud. There's no monthly subscription to it. It's you purchase it, you pay for it, it's installed, it's done. There are a lot of different options with it, but I'm waiting to see what he, what it's going to cost first, and then I can send him over and tell him what we're looking for. He can at least give us an estimate and see if it's worth pursuing or not pursuing.
For the fire department, I wanted to ask the trustees, so when Evan does show up, if I could possibly be available for it, I would like to look at some cameras to be looking at the fire station. You know, we've got some extremely high dollar equipment and other items that are need to be monitored, and I wouldn't be opposed to spending some fire levy money on protecting our assets.
Sure. Yeah, that seems reasonable.
And I think, Jim, you actually said something earlier when we were, before the meeting, we were kind of talking a little bit about it, just the cameras and, you know, what good are they going to do if there's really no.
So with the investment,
right.
If there's no consequences, the investment is it really worth it?
So.
So how would you enforce the consequences to spending that money?
Well, I tell you what I did find, and this isn't me personally, this didn't personally hit me, but the dumpsters down at like Metzger's, there's cameras on them. So there have been people that have been caught on camera dumping them, and they get the call from the sheriff or the, and say, and then send them the ticket, and they get a ticket for it, for illegal dumping. So it's something we'd have to look at. I don't know what the process is on that, but I do know that at any of these county ramps, I know Metzger specifically has cameras pointing on it, and they catch people dumping there illegally, and they get the ticket. So
the county would actually pursue them, because we talked about this before. I used to have trail cameras over there. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew they were there. We caught two people, but there was a couple I really wanted to catch, and all we got the picture of was the car leaving. We got a guy that came in with a trailer hooked behind his truck with a hot tub on it. When it left, it didn't have the hot tub, and at the end of the fence, the hot tub was laying. Well, there was a message put out on Facebook about we had the license plate number and everything else. And surprisingly, within 30 minutes after that went out, the hot tub disappeared. There was a guy that completely filled one of the dumpsters up with garbage. We had a picture of the plate, and we had a picture of him standing in the back of the truck throwing garbage. Well, the sheriff got that, and I think they ended up with a ticket out. But when I talked to, I can't think of his name right now, it's in charge of the solid waste, but they will pursue him. Every one of those dumpsters tell you right on the front of them, it's spelled out that it's not a garbage dumpster, it's for these items. And we also, and it's been happening for the last couple months, without any law enforcement out here, I'm not going to go over and holler at somebody in a dumpster stealing aluminum cans out of the dumpster. But they're hitting those dumpsters pretty hard for that type of stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, you know, it ain't like we got to worry about a garbage truck pulling up there, picking it up. They're parked right in front of it.
Right.
They're not sleeping in it, but they're hitting it. So, which also is called out on the dumpster. So
we can get a little information from him. I'll forward it on over here. And
see how much it's come across?
Yeah, I mean, it ain't going to hurt to look at it. I mean,
yeah, I did look into the Wi-Fi cameras a long time ago, which technology's come a long way since then. You know, something like that even. We had a guy, though, that told us that they're just such hit and miss, especially if you're trying to retrieve the information to this building, that it was hard to do. So if we get something that's cloud-based, then it's there. You just go back and look at it.
And I've seen, I sat through some, webinars on it, and with the AI power they have now, it's scary because it can start picking up, it might find the chief online somewhere, this picture somewhere in the paper or something, and it will, if it sees him over there, it can say, I think this is Tony Parcelletti. I mean, it could tell you.
Wow.
And then you can go in there and say, no, that's actually Barb Gall. It ain't Tony Parcelletti, but it's really amazing what they do. I mean, it's kind of scary. So
yeah, I'm on record. I'm Blakey Howell. There's somebody's trying to steal my identity because I got $1 million because I've worked for 30 years.
So it's interesting. Scott?
Just one question. If we make the investment on these cameras, the county is going to reap the benefits because they're going to write the tickets and they're going to keep the money.
No, we will, because we won't have all the garbage.
Yeah,
we lost so much garbage over to this dumpster, it's ridiculous.
But they would be writing the tickets, and they would be keeping the money, correct?
The sheriff's department.
So the township wouldn't get any benefit.
Money would end up through
the money board. Would end up in Toledo, Springfield Township, or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it would keep people possibly from there doing that. But
if it keeps it clean over there.
We're footing the bill for somebody else to reap the benefits.
That the county dumpsters, those belong to the county?
Yeah, the recycling.
Yeah, the recycling.
It's a Lucas County recycling program.
Tell the county that we'd like to have them put a camera up.
We could talk to them about it.
That's worth it.
I can share my other thing.
Taking the estimate.
We when we have a fire investigation, the fire marshal, you know, so we have a fire at a residence. He goes around and checks with the neighboring residents to see if any of their cameras may have picked up any activity. So there, I mean, I think there's a lot of benefit out of cameras that, you know, can help. That's just my opinion.
But we're broke.
Well, you're right. I mean, we could see if they would be willing to foot the bill on that. I mean,
it'll save them a lot of junk and stuff too. So
yeah. And it might be worth it, you know.
See, they had the problem when I was talking, and they're having the same problem at Pearson Park. And that's when I told him I'd put the trail cameras out, and that's how we caught a few of them. And he wanted to know how that worked, which the new trail cameras now, it'll update you with motion, send you the video. I don't know how many times a day you want to keep looking at your phone or your computer.
Right.
So.
All right. Okay. Number five, Bunting Road sewer camera.
Talked to them last week. We're most probably about a week and a half out before they come out. We have not set up a date and time yet.
Yeah, that you were the factor when I talked to him about it, that they needed somebody to lift the grates off.
Yeah.
And so I told him Kevin would do it.
the superintendent called me beginning of the week, I believe it was, and we talked about it. And with them doing the tar and chip and other stuff going on right now, he figured about a week and a half would work out that one.
No, but I told him, you know, Eric was on vacation and everything, so I said probably in a week or so too. That's what I said too, and yeah. But at least we're going to get it done. I wanted to make sure you got to keep it on their agenda, so they do it. So I brought it up to him. So hopefully that gets done in the next month or so. That's all I got on it.
Okay, number six, Cedar Point Road federal grant.
Well, I bounced the engineer's office again about the federal grant, so we don't lose that. It only comes up every couple of years, and Sarah Rowland is going to take care of it. She did it the last time for me on Vela Road and Bono Road when we got federal grants for those. So I'll be meeting with her sometime in the next month too. So I would like to, when we do get some money, make sure they widen it to the east end, because it's at least 3 foot narrower on the east end of Cedar Point Road where it dead ends there than the rest of it. So it's upgraded. So we'll see what happens with this. I hope it all works out.
Okay.
It's free money.
The best kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, number seven, Cedar Creek petition.
Well, I talked to Kyle Warner. He answered me back. I emailed Panuski and Cisco, and finally he called me up, Kevin, 7:30 at night one night. That Kyle Warner. I goes, it didn't bother me. I answered the phone, you know. But he said everybody was working on Swan Creek and they just got that done. So he said they might start working on Cedar Creek then. So that's all I got on that.
Okay, number eight, grass.
Well, when I was talking to Kyle Warner, I bounced him on the grass. You know, I goes, you know, they're not even cutting the full width of the mower. They could go over and cut more, you know. The mower's not cutting anything for what, 2 foot or something like that, or a foot?
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, Dave, we've had a lot of complaints on the other side too. So that's what's gonna help over there, Monclova and all in that area. So he said something might happen. I goes, well, I hope so. So we'll see. I just brought it up as long as I was talking to him. And he seems like a pretty knowledgeable guy. I sent all this stuff to Cisco and Panuski, and he was the one that had to talk to me. Yeah, he was designated. So that's all. I just mentioned it. Well, I thought it wouldn't hurt Bo to bring it up, you know.
Is that the big rush contractors?
Yep, you got it.
Yeah, quick mowers. I stopped them on Cedar Point Road in front of the house.
How'd you stop them?
Chase truck behind there, and he got, and the wife was following behind the rotary John Deere, and she stopped, and I told the story about the mailbox. The mailbox, the year before, there was a contract hand with the John, it was a blue New Holland or a Ford, and they had an articulating arm with the yellow arm, and they cut my mailbox open. And I thought, all right, well, the guy was moved out, and maybe he didn't know what he was doing, but you got it going again. And
here, I wrote this down for you. This is former River Water Treatment Plant, who contacted there about the damage he had.
So the next time it comes around, the guy whacks my mailbox again, bends it again, and then he comes up and he hits the utility pole, and when whacks it into the utility pole and hits that utility pole, 1, 2, 3 with that mower on the side of that tractor, and I heard it snap in the house. And so that pole's been broke for 2 years. Every time the winds blows, I look at it, and I know my neighbors probably look at it too, because that pole's broke, and the next pole's broke, and the next pole's broke.
I hate to cut you off, but we got to get the rest of our business done. We have a public participation section at the end.
Yeah, but he did it with a tractor, and he intentionally did it.
Okay, number 10, wireless caller message on email.
You missed one. Big Cooley Ditch.
Oh, I did skip that? Oh, okay. All right, number 9, Big Cooley Ditch.
I called in that too, the county. They're having trouble even surveying it. They can't get their surveyors in there. They tried to talk me into having you go with a boom mower and go over there and try and clean it up so they could at least survey it. It's so bad, you know. And so that's what they're doing the next week or so. I think they're taking their boom mower there to try and make spots, you know, for it. I didn't put you in that one.
Is that the one from behind Vargas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that they are surveying that, and that probably that is $800,000 to do all that.
Yeah,
and so that's why I wanted to keep on them, and I didn't want to lose that, but so I think they might start that in 26, I think, but they got to get it surveyed. So that's all I got on that.
Okay. All right. Now number 10, wireless caller message on email, clone phone number of the township. Did you get a chance
Yeah, I heard the voicemail. I mean, there's not much you can do about it. I mean, they clone them numbers all the time.
I just wanted everybody to know it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think there's anything we have to do about it. I can't remember. I think that happened to me years ago, and it happened for a couple days, and then they must have moved on to some other phone number. So, as long as everybody's aware, I don't think there's anything you got to worry about.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. Number 11, Hercules Energy.
I had this dude call me up and about energy. I'm going to talk to him next week or something. Our energy did go up 30%, and it didn't go up in Ottawa County. I don't know how Lucas County did this, but Ottawa County stayed the same, but Lucas went up at least 30%.
You can pre-buy it, like you go into a contract with them and buy it at a lower kilowatt, how you want to say it, but it's at a lower rate. It's weird that they can buy it. It's all coming through the same thing, but you're buying it.
Yeah,
and you can lock it in for 2 years, and
the generation and the transmission and the billing. It's weird how it's separated.
And you can save some money. I mean, you can definitely save some money doing it. So it's not where you can do it for the complex. It'd save everybody, road and bridges, fire department, township. Yeah,
I thought I'd just at least talk to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, number 12, Team ACOG meeting.
That was you didn't come. It was one of those boring meetings.
They almost all are.
Yeah. It was the Delta Institute for Green Infrastructure. I'll get it out. And they live streamed that, and it was pretty boring. It was basically about the cities, putting this stuff in the cities, trees, water stuff, stuff like that. And it didn't. Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah, I wasted my time that day.
Okay, number 13, employee pay rate. Do we need to make an official motion to readjust that since we hired a new zoning inspector?
I don't think it would hurt, because take it back to January. I think it's 2040 he goes back to.
I don't remember the specific amount offhand. Do we just want to make a motion to readjust it back to the January rate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to readjust Rob's pay rate back to the January rate now that we hired a full-time zoning inspector and he's no longer in that position.
Which is 2040, because Joel had it on the paper, right?
Was that effective when? July 1?
July 1.
Yeah. I can second that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
roll call, Dave Bench?
Yes.
Alex Litton? Yes. Bo Miller?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Number 14, Elgin Rogers invite to trustee meeting. Elgin Rogers came out and did a public event here a few weeks back. He's interested in coming to a trustee meeting and talking with us about our needs and concerns for the township at the state level. Initially, he was interested in coming to this meeting, but I figured being we're in the middle of summer, we got all the stuff going on with levies. I didn't think we wanted to add that in on top of all of our regular business. Do you guys want to wait till the fall to extend an invite and see if we can have him come to a meeting?
Yeah. I would like to get through these levies. Honestly, that's our big concern.
Chief?
I was here when he was here, and he was very informative. The one concern that I have for the fire department is the current legislation that's in the state on the real estate tax. I'm only interested in if this gentleman has the time to come and share more accurate information that's happening right in the state house. That could be very informative to the township. It's just a thought.
I guess if you give him 15 minutes or something like that, 10 minutes, it wouldn't hurt.
He's a politician, though. He might take longer.
Oh, he's a talker.
You can cut him off. You're the president.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. Okay.
Yeah, I'll just put it on my to-do list to re-invite him once we get closer to fall and get through some of these levy projects. So. Yep. Okay. Any other old
new business?
Go on.
And this isn't, I mean, everybody's watched it. I've sent some text messages to the commissioners, and I was very happy to hear that they have pretty much scrapped the plans for their new jail. So now my next set of emails that are gonna go out are going to be asking, because I watched it on WTO 11 Sunday morning, and Pete Gerken on there saying that he was so impressed at how much money Mike Navarre has cut from his budget, the sheriff, how much money he saved. So if we're saving that much money, the township should be able to get their sheriffs back. And I'm not going to stop with him. I'm going to ask the commissioners to either A, take back the roads, which I know is a no way in hell they're going to do, or at least give us some more money for them. And if the other thing is, if anybody watched any of the news channels with the tour of the jail, and they have decaying concrete columns.
It's a shame.
That didn't happen overnight. That is 20 years of neglect.
Exactly.
That is a shame.
Exactly. Somebody should lose their job over.
You're exactly right. So I'm happy they scratched their plans with that right now. And it sounds like they're gonna try and fix what they have. I know it's still going to cost them some money.
Get rid of
Navarre. Get rid of Gerken.
We got money. There's money there now. So
Gerken's he'd rather lose $20 million, not $200 million.
Right. Because that's what they lost so far, is about $20
million. $23 million buying the property and doing the demolition and the research.
Five different sets of drawings. All that $23 million the county has wasted.
Oh, somebody told me that they said that they're going to sell that property in downtown Toledo.
I have not heard that. I didn't hear that on the news. I could have missed it.
Gerken said since they decided to cancel the jail, he's already had multiple organizations and businesses reach out to him. But when he was put on the point, he started making up this and this and this. Maybe they have, but by the way he was talking, it was a politician talking in a circle.
Okay. So I'm going to write an email again and just say, hey, you know, jail scrap, we got money. Let's give our townships back and the ones that are paying for it, don't charge them anymore.
I just like to see the sheriff once in a while a little bit more.
Yeah.
Touch base with me on that.
Go down to the county, you'll see that one all the time.
Yeah.
That guy's
Busy. Steve's a good guy.
He is.
Elgin gave me some channels on how to get some items on the commissioner's budget. Or, sorry, not budget, agenda.
Okay.
So we could combo those two together.
Well, what I'll do is I'll write an email. I'll send it to them. I'll send that to you, and then you can...
Yeah.
We'll kind of piggyback off it, and then if there's something you want to add, we can refine it, and then we'll kick it off to them.
Cool. So, yeah, sounds good.
All right.
The only thing I was going to bring up, Bo, was, Alex, that I guess we kind of did it earlier, that but we should accept Gary Allen's, you know, publicly, his resignation, and post it as July 31st, you know. Just, I don't think we're going to vote on it, just, yeah, you know, sure. So it's in the minutes.
Yeah, I can formally accept Gary's resignation as the Jefferson Township Rec Director. It's going to be effective July 31. This is his last day.
I'll second that. Roll call, Dave Bench?
Yes.
Alex Litton?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Okay. All right, no other new business. Okay, on to public participation. We're going to go around the room. Everybody's got to say their name for the record. Each person gets 5 minutes. And make sure you... Oh, I can't cut Sandy off that early. She'll fill those 5 minutes.
You guys talk during my 5 minutes. That's not him talking. You get 5 minutes.
All right, here. Sandy Nissen, I'm going to start the clock right there.
Okay, here we go. Really?
Yep.
Okay. Few questions. Are we going to release the rec board, too? We don't need a rec director. Why do we need a rec board?
We need them.
Yeah, as of right now, I know nothing's been said about the releasing the rec board. And the reason I wouldn't want to release them yet is I want them to be involved because we do want to try and carry this. And it's going to be tight to carry this for a year out of the general fund. And I know Joel's not going to be very happy about it. But again, if we can make some cuts.
And some of the remaining funds, right?
And some of the remaining funds. We want to try and carry this along, and then we'll probably call on the levy committee again in a year to probably help get that one passed.
We got a lot invested over there.
Oh, I know.
And I don't want to see it throw it away.
What does the rec board do?
They do meet and they talk about where they want to go, their vision is, and what they want to see. They bounce ideas. They give Gary a little bit of direction. You know, one of the things they did this year was they decided that they wanted to invest in the pickleball courts over at the Verb Park with, you know, painting that and that type of stuff. So
they have no money, and they have no director to present it to.
Right. But they also don't get paid.
I know it's not much, but yeah. Per diem per meeting.
But they don't meet every month either. No, they don't meet every month. So it's not like we're paying them every month.
Okay. When we do get a rec director back, is Gary going to be considered?
If he applies, sure. It's going to be open for applications.
Yeah, I don't think Gary will take, I don't think he'd be, with his kids at the ages they are and the amount of sports that they're involved in, and him being a full-time teacher and then coaching in Perrysburg,
yeah.
I don't see him having the time because they're getting busier and busier.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
You better believe it. We lost an asset there.
But if he did apply, we would definitely consider Gary 100%.
Yeah, he's not leaving on bad terms or anything.
Oh, hell no.
This is for the fire department, I guess.
Okay.
What does Don Murray do with the fire department that he earns about $1,100 more than anybody else?
First off, Don makes 99% of the runs, so that's why his... Don makes the runs, and he responds to the calls.
He shows up at the station after...
When you can find me people that will get up at 3 a.m. consistently and do that guy does that. and or when there's only one other person. Don is still a qualified, certified firefighter, EMT. So in the EMS world, we must have two EMTs in order to transport a patient. Don fulfills that requirement. 90% of the time, he's going to be the driver of the vehicle. His extra responsibility is our radio communications. So there, we've just completed through the, everybody had to complete by January 8th, double authentication. So every single radio that the department had, we had to upgrade radios, for one. We had to, and then those had to be all reprogrammed and serviced. And then in addition to the radios, there are the pagers that also alert the firefighters. So that's his added specialty. He has the time and he goes to meetings with me. He's my second assistant chief. So he does go to meetings. And if I'm not able to attend, he generally attends those meetings.
Who's your first assistant?
Mike Shea. Yeah. Mike Shea's specialty is the payroll for the fire department. We don't have an outside service. We're still doing everything in-house. So that's his first and foremost responsibility, other than in my absence, either one of those are in, either one of those gentlemen are in charge. But again, just happened again last night, 3 o'clock in the morning. There's Don right there. Now Mike makes most of them too, but it's tough. It's tough to have the reliability. It's such changing times. If you really wanted to see, as public record, you could see the roster of people and the amount of runs and calls that they actually make. Now, obviously in a volunteer department, which we still are calling as far as responding, that the reason we have 34 people is just sheer by numbers, you know, so we can have response. We are fortunate, if you were to monitor other departments in the area, and you were to view the mutual aid request needed for a department that doesn't have the personnel, we are very few needs of those, but there are other townships in the community that have to have that more often. Do not be confused by Oregon coming out here. That's the service that's provided. They are the ALS service. But just as an incident today, if we have paramedics, then you know we're gonna take care of our customer, take care of our citizens. So thank you for asking the questions. I do appreciate it.
One thing, Sandy, too, just something to think about, if Don is at a higher rate, then so he is a
yeah,
he is the higher end of the rate.
Assistant chief's rate.
Just something to think about, just consider.
So is Mike Shea then?
Yeah,
they're exactly. Those two are equal.
So it goes the rate, the officers,
yeah
chief's officers.
Captain and lieutenant.
And let me ask you this then. When you have a call, you have to wait for a certain amount of people to show up to take the unit?
No. Let me say it this way. So a call comes in, and I'm going to use myself as an example because I'm one of the closest ones to the station. So I will get here, and I'm viewing my app on my phone. I'm responding. So if I've instructed my team that if you are even the only one, if Kevin's the only one available, I still want you to go. Now, there's an incident where we're going to call mutual aid, you know, because we've got to have adequate personnel. So now I purposely called dispatch, contact mutual aid, and respond. But I still want someone from the department to go to the scene, take care of our,
okay,
do what we can for our customer, get the information that we can do, support the mutual aid if we need to. I have no problem with, if we have to abandon our truck and leave it, it's not a problem. It's about the patient and the customer, so. Okay.
So if only one person shows up,
they can take the rip. Yes.
How do they know if someone else is on the way?
They're looking at the app, and in our bay, there's a TV, and it shows who's responding. Yeah.
Is there a certain amount of time that they wait?
Dispatch, if we, when we get dispatched, there is 5 minutes, but most of the time it's about 3.5 to 4 minutes, and they will tone us out a second time. And generally, one of the officers are going to reply is, we do have staffing, you know, so, okay, I know Kevin's coming, I saw him on the board, so we have staffing, and so they don't have to tone us out again. Or there's times I'll call dispatch. Dispatch, go ahead and tone us out again. One of the problems we have in Jerusalem Township, and one thing I really want to share with everybody is, and maybe I could use some rallying of some troops to help on this one, is our communications. We still have dead spots. If you go by Anchor Point, my phone won't work, it'll shut down. If I'm at Teach Out and by Anchor Point Road there, that phone will shut off. Not only that, our radios then will disconnect, and our computers in the rig. The computer has all the printed information and updated information. So we do have some real serious problems in this area. Where I'm also alluding to is Davis Spessy is lobbying to do away with their responsibility to the sirens. I'm opposed to this as the chief and a citizen. I'm tired of taking care of private industry. They can pay their fair share to keep those sirens. They're relying, I'm a little disturbed because our EMA director is also in support of this. It's almost like legislation has already made a decision. And it's, I call it bull crap, excuse me, but I do, because you're relying everything on this or that or this. What happens when we lose power? We lose power and you're relying on this, on a nuclear energy problem? I'm sorry.
What's that generator setting up here that don't run?
Our generator supplies our building. We don't.
Yep, but then you're not losing power. You've got auxiliary power.
Correct, but I'm talking about a major communication. Remember, this country went through, the eastern half of the country went through a complete electrical outage.
That two-way radio?
They don't work. If the system goes down, the radios don't work.
Then.
Correct.
They're upgrading Verizon, upgrading the tower.
Sandy, do you have any other questions?
I'm sorry.
That's like 10 minutes, Sandy. I know a lot of response.
We can talk later.
Okay, who do we got next? Oh, real quick, I do have a question for Mark. You mentioned that you guys started the Jerusalem Township Levy Committee. If residents want to make donations to that, where do they? Where do you want them taken to?
To the treasurer. That's me.
Could they drop them off here, and we
sure.
could? Would
absolutely.
That be?
Yeah.
Be fair,
yeah,
and we'll try and get them if we get them.
Sure.
We'll
yeah, drop them off here, and then one of you gentlemen can give me a heads up. I can stop by and pick them up.
Thank you. Just wanted to make sure of that. Okay, any other public participation? Jim?
Yeah, a year ago I was doing some work at Burke Park and noticed that the swing sets were real bad there. They got them straps on the chains.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I brought that to the attention here, and I was told by Gary that he had the swings and was going to put them up next week. That was a year ago. If he has them, if you could get them, I'll put them up. Them swing sets, the rubber on them, are deteriorated so bad I wouldn't put any kid in them for anything. Some of them are broke, but you know, I don't know if he's got them or what.
If I remember correctly, and I know that we talked about this, he did go over to put them up, and when they got there, they were, the chains were too short. I think it was the last thing that I knew. They weren't, because them are really long chains, because that's a big swing set. I think the chains were too short, and we had to get extensions.
There's all different heights of the chains there. I do agree with you.
Yeah, I think that was the last thing, but.
The fact is, if he's had them for a year, have him give them up, but let's get them taken care of.
Okay. Yep, we can do that.
Things shouldn't take 2 years to put a swing up.
We can go to Gladys, get some chains.
Right.
Yeah. You got to watch because of the type of chain.
I don't think there's anything, a lot of them, like I say, a couple of them are at different heights. I don't know what he meant, they were too long. Well, the chains don't need replaced, only the seat.
I thought he got all new.
It's cracked so bad, it would pinch little
okay.
kids' legs.
I'm going to text him right now so I don't forget, and then I'll get with you.
Thank you.
Yep.
We used to have wood seats.
Anything else, Jim? Is that...
That was it.
Thank okay. Thank you, Jim. Okay. Barb?
Barb Ball. There was an issue brought up of the phone service and dead spots. What's going to be done about that? That's really a bad issue out here.
Yeah. I've reached out to Verizon a couple times and asked them to put another tower in. Never hear anything back. I know a new tower of some sort is getting put along Route 2 around the Bono curve there, but I don't think any of us know what type of... I don't know if it's going to be a cell phone tower. I don't know what type of tower it's going to be. Yeah, we're...
It's bad.
Who has jurisdiction over the towers? They put one in Curtis, and I told them to get out the store there. They put a tower right next to that mainline railroad, right next to all the power lines, and when the lightning comes down, she's going to end up dead or in a doornail. When the lightning comes up and gets induced on that power line and comes down that tower, it's going to go straight through her store.
Nobody particularly has jurisdiction except for the FCC. We're actually quite limited in anything we can regulate.
Towers anywhere in the country and wherever they want, and nobody really...
Well, that's on that one. That one is on railroad property there in Curtis, and the railroad has a lot of the feds have a lot of pull with the railroad. So
it's also outside of the township.
They're going to derail the train they're going to drop the tower and crash a train.
It kills the rail when something goes across. It shorts the rails. That turns every red.
Do you have anything else, Barb?
No.
Thank you. Okay. Who do we have next? Anybody?
I'll speak on a couple of different things.
Okay, well, what was your name again?
Blake Edward Howell. I live at 8410 Cedar Point Road, and I lived at 11967 Dyke Road, and I bought the Hetzel residence next to me, and I got that swindled out of me in an auction, but that's a whole other story that I haven't got a penny out of. But my concern at Reno Beach is when it's called a chaise, when the water comes up and it blows from the east.
A chaise, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't hardly talk well, and people think, you know, I'm not the smartest person in the world because I can't talk real well. But when that water comes up and it parks on the east end of this lake and it sits there, and it sits there and there's nothing to stop it. So if one of these dikes fail, and it's going to be the dike that's along the Wallace Road, or the dike that runs, you know, north and south, and it's going to fill that Reno Beach, and somebody can do AI on that and do a time study how long it'll take to fill that water up and how many people will drown.
There's actually been a study on that. That was the initial Ohio Lake Erie Commission study that was done in 2023, if I recall correctly. And they did a four-part animation where they simulated breaches of the dike at the four most likely points where it's going to breach, and they did a simulation that showed, you know, depending on where it broke, how long it was going to take to fill in Reno Beach. And how,
I mean, if it's in the middle of the night, people drown. There's no chance.
I don't recall
250 miles and you're going to hold back that water.
I don't recall offhand the particular amount of time that it would take to fill that area full of water, but the study is published on our township website, and the animations are published there as well. They're also published on the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District website as well, and you can check out the animations there.
So is there an audible alarm that we could notify the residents and issue of a flood if it would breach? Is there any way you can have an alarm?
I don't think we have any type of alarm system. Chief, do you happen to know of anything offhand?
The county now has subscribed to Everbridge,
mm-hmm.
and that is the new alerting system. Every person in Lucas County has the ability to download that app to your phone. It's free. There's no cost to it. But those messages would go out from the EMA, Lucas County EMA, and that's how that would be disseminated.
Okay. Thanks, Chief.
I have just one more thing. I don't want to put the chief on the spot, but I got this pamphlet, and they said you cannot have a fire must be more than 1,000 feet from the neighbor's inhabited building. I got that handed to me in the zoning office.
Do you have a specific question about fires?
Can we have a fire in our backyard?
Yes.
At any time?
Yes, you can have an entertainment fire. The maximum size of the fire, I believe, is 3x3 by I can't remember the heights now. I'd have to look at the brochure. That brochure is put out by the state of Ohio and supported by the Ohio EPA. So a lot of the jurisdiction of violations is under the EPA, state of Ohio EPA. So we've had some unfortunate situations where people have burned waste, which is not allowed, and we will extinguish any waste fires. So if, let's say that Dave has had a fire going on, and let's say it's just vegetation, but Alex lives next to him, and the smoke is going from his fire over to Alex's house and impregnating his house, we are obligated to extinguish that too. Okay. So you can't, your fire cannot bother your neighbors. So there's where the guidance of the 1,000-foot comes into play is. They're trying to make sure that your fire doesn't bother the neighbor. You could have a neighbor that has an asthma problem, and it would be, you know, harmful to their health.
All right, that's satisfying. Can I speak? Am I on camera right here?
Yep, so, you're on camera.
So I'm going
to... You got about another minute to go.
All right, so I'm going to speak about private industry, and I'm third generation in oil, and in the corner of York and Otter Creek Road, there's two butane vessels, 80 and 90,000 gallon butane vessels that they put in there, and they put absolutely no means to protect them vessels at all as far as firefighting apparatus. And if you send your firefighters in there, they're going to, there's four mainline pipelines that they have access to these vessels, and they're hid underneath that stuff piping where you can't really see it from overhead. One person can take a, can get in there and do this. One person can go in and take the other three out and fire these up. It's called a blebby. So it's called a blebby, is a blowing liquid expanding vapor explosion. And that's what they try to do in East Palestine with the rail cars. They're going to try to do it with these 80 and 90,000 gallon butane vessels they have at York and Otter Creek Roads. They're going to try to put my name on it. They ain't going to do it. That's all I got to say. Don't send your firefighters up there.
Okay. Thank you, Blake. Yeah. Any other public comment?
Move to adjourn.
One more thing. Oh. We had comments at our last meeting that we need to check Facebook comments, if we have any input, and we do not have any input. It looks like we've had a total of 3 viewers for this whole meeting.
All right.
So,
It's
you want to make a motion to adjourn? Sorry, we got to cut you off. We have to make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'm sorry.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second. Roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Alex Litton? Yes. Bo Miller?
Yes.
Okay. Meeting adjourned 8:32 p.m.
I'll leave this here.
When's our corn? We're getting corn.
Tomorrow morning.
Are you open? Is the stand open yet or no?
Tomorrow.
Oh, does? I'll be there to get some corn.
I can see the benches there, though.
Oh, did you get
benches went up because I went by 2 days ago looking for them. There were no benches now. You got the
stands
up.
Chief,
unless that flooding's
interesting. So they got to have a plan for that. I would keep bugging that guy to see if there's a plan.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.